This call is being recorded.
All right, so this is...
Okay, the meeting.
Sorry, Tom.
Go ahead, Ellie.
No, I just cut you off. You should go ahead.
Okay, the meeting is called to order. This is Tom Rutledge.
Great, so in San Francisco, this is Ellie Hassenfeld.
Carrie Tuna.
Holden Karnofsky.
Rob Reich.
Jake Gibson.
Sarah Ward.
Phil Steinmeier just came in.
And Julie and Bridget, can you just
yep.
Just for people
Julia
know
Wyatt here.
Here.
Yep.
And this is
Julia Wyatt.
And is Bridget here too?
Yes, this is Bridget.
Okay.
Sorry, spoke at the same time as Julia.
Okay, great. So that's everybody. The plan for this meeting is to go through the, essentially the document I shared over email. So we're going to go in the order listed there. Sarah, our director of operations, is going to take the lead on the first two topics. Then we'll move on to the next two. And then, you know, we'll leave some time at the end in case there's any other topics that, anyone wants to discuss or ask about. And there's no official votes that we need to take at this board meeting. Does anyone have anything they want to add or ask about before we dive in with the agenda I sent out?
Nope.
Great. Okay. So Sarah, do you want to kick things off?
Yeah, sure. So I'm going to start with a quick update on where we are with the GiveWell OpenFill split. And the first thing I wanted to mention, even though he's not here, is I just wanted to say that Alexander did a huge amount of work to start this process and took it, a long way towards the finish line. So I wanted to thank him for his work and mention that in case people aren't aware, I think everyone is probably aware, but that since he's planning to move to the LLC, assuming the split, goes through, we thought it would be prudent for someone who plans to stay at GiveWell to manage the transaction for GiveWell. And that's where I came in. So we've transitioned that work to me. And I've been working with the subcommittee on the split quite a bit recently. So we've made some progress. We've hired lawyers to help us. We've moved towards hiring a valuation firm. We don't actually have an agreement signed with them, but we will, or we plan to later this week. So just a really quick summary of the process that we went through to engage legal counsel and the valuation firm, in case that's helpful, we interviewed, we gathered recommendations from a bunch of people, including some of you on the board. We interviewed multiple lawyers, I think something maybe a bit overkill, something like 7 or 8, and 3 valuation firms. All right, I will move on then to the next agenda item, which is an operations update. All right, so I've been in, I think, this director of operations role now for about 3 months or so officially. So we thought it might be helpful for me to give you an overview of my top priorities for operations for the next few months. So just to kind of set the stage, my team is responsible for a pretty long list of different domains, including legal or compliance, HR and recruiting, finance, accounting, donations processing, websites, office management, grants logistics, and a few other smaller categories.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. Let's,
Ellie, you want to take the take the next topic here?
I just wanted to give all of you a quick update on how I'm thinking about, you know, my time allocation, which seems like a topic that's just worth making sure we're all on the same page about. You know, Holden and I are currently co-executive directors of GiveWell, but, you know, I, Ellie, am the de facto day-to-day executive director. You know, I do spend a bunch of my time on open philanthropy-related topics. I expect to continue to do so after the split. In particular, I manage two open philanthropy team members, and you know, they're kind of make up our biosecurity and pandemic preparedness program. You know, then going forward, you know, I expect to continue to try to make decisions about how to allocate time between GiveWell and OpenPhil, like largely based on where, you know, I personally think I'll be able to have the most impact. And so it's, you know, it's possible that, you know, I may end up allocating a significant amount of time to OpenPhil, you know, after the split. That seems like a fair, just wanted to make sure that was not something that had got missed and that you all knew that. Does anyone have any questions or comments about that topic?
Just a comment, in as much as when it comes around time to do executive compensation, kind of having like a real clear event where will be necessary.
Sure, and I think the way that, I mean, so this is something that I don't know how it will work in practice. Sarah would be the one to know, but you know I'd obviously be billing that time out to open philanthropy rather than, you know, GiveWell being charged for time I spent on other work, and so that should, you know, prevent that's how the compensation question should be answered.
Oh, okay.
Yep, that's right. I actually don't know yet what all of the, you know, how the contracts will actually look. But I think for Ellie, in Ellie's case, he'll be a full-time employee of GiveWell, and then we'll be billing OpenPhil, and OpenPhil will reimburse us for his time spent on OpenPhil projects. That's my current understanding of how it'll work.
Are there any folks whom you anticipate will be split employed in a formal way, rather than this reimbursement or billing approach that you just described?
Yeah, possibly. I think that is one option that we need to consider. That it would be sort of a co-employment arrangement, and there are a bunch of considerations that will come into play, including around benefits, medical and other benefits, and how that would work. But the lawyers are going to be advising about what makes sense there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, knowing you guys and knowing you, Ellie, I that in itself doesn't cause me a lot of concern, but just on general principles, I think it's something that sort of bears monitoring. Obviously, if the executive director isn't available for operational issues or for other reasons that are essential to GiveWell, that's a problem. So we just need to make sure that you are available to do the job.
Yep, I agree with that. So, I mean, very happy to have whatever monitoring would make the most sense. I mean, I think, you could have some, you know, direct communication with Sarah or others on the, you know, sort of on the research side of GiveWell. We all track our time here, and certainly with the split, and I know that we'll have to, and so it'll also be easy to report, you know, sort of direct time. I mean, we'll have to for the purpose of billing, but that's also something that would be available to the board if it wanted, which was, you know, time spent on GiveWell versus OpenPhil over some period of time.
Yeah, I mean, I think from my standpoint, the most meaningful information would probably be from GiveWell employees who would typically interact with you, and you know, do they feel like they have enough access to you? Do they feel like there's sort of an ongoing flow back and forth on information and strategy and so forth? So if there's some way to sort of get an accounting from and maybe that's through you, Sarah, I don't know, but just getting some accounting of how that process is all working, I think that would be helpful maybe for the next board meeting.
Okay, yeah, I could imagine doing that through some sort of like 360 review type of thing where we gather feedback, which we do already on an annual basis, but we could consider doing it more often or collecting different kinds of information as part of that process.
Yep, great.
Great. So I'm going to move on to the next topic here, and that's just the GiveWell strategy update. You know, this was not put together with the split explicitly in mind. So Rob, let me know if there are any things that you want me to come back to and we can address directly. But this is more of a general update on, you know, what we think GiveWell should be, will be, you know, long term, with an eye in particular towards, let's say, the next 1 to 2 years as the most, you know, concrete focus of what, you know, we put together here. So, I mean, I think the, I'll just run through this quickly since I know I sent it out ahead of time, but just to remind folks of sort of the key points here. You know, the first one is that, you know, the way that GiveWell has impact is by recommending the best giving opportunities we can and then attracting as much funding as possible to those recommendations. You know, we think it's really crucial that GiveWell identify and recommend new giving opportunities. You know, I think without new recommendations, it seems likely that GiveWell would eventually recommend only give directly. And, you know, that is because, you know, we think that deworming and bed nets, which are the two other interventions we currently recommend, are eventually, I hope, going to be funded fully, and there won't really be room for additional funding. And so we think a world in which we only recommend give directly is one where it would be much harder to attract new donors. We'd probably lose existing donors. I also think that just because so much of our impact comes from recommending the best things we can, we should be able to keep finding things that are better than, you know, better than just giving to cash, as good as that is. You know, I think a lot of what we will do is going to be similar to what we have done in the past. You know, some of it will be just the, you know, exactly the same sorts of things where we reach out to organizations and evaluate them. But we're also planning to make additional specialized hires that should allow us to better engage with and evaluate more complicated evidence and new areas of intervention than we have in the past. And then, you know, we also anticipate that this part of our work we've called GiveWell Experimental, where we recommend grants that support the development of future GiveWell top charities, you know, that's already become a substantial part of the work that GiveWell is doing on a daily basis. And, you know, we expect it's going to continue to grow. And, you know, we hope that next year, the sort of 2017 recommendation cycle is the first year where that leads to some new recommendations. And, you know, we then expect that these new recommendations, you know, should help us retain donors we have, attract new donors, and, you know, and identify better giving opportunities that we can send money to. You know, talk a little bit about the, you know, the operational side of things and why we need to focus on strengthening our back office operations. But I think it's also worth noting that we don't think the split is going to affect our funding situation, you know, GiveWell's in any material way. You know, we just, you know, we are in a stable funding situation regardless of open philanthropy, you know, basically a pretty diverse set of donors. And I'm happy to go into some of the numbers that people want, but, you know, we basically think that the work that we've done over the last few years to build up the direct funding of GiveWell has succeeded. And so, you know, just very briefly, you know, our kind of expected GiveWell expenses ex open philanthropy over the next 12 months are in the range of $2 million a year. And if you, you know, look at the expected revenues, it comes to about $3 million plus per year for GiveWell, you know, exclusive of open philanthropy. And so generally speaking, we're not planning any, you know, major new initiatives on the fundraising part. So that's just a brief summary of how we're thinking about things. So let me open it up for questions on what I said and specifically anything that would be helpful with relation to the open phil GiveWell split.
Does the split affect the accounting of the money move metric in any way?
We have been in our, so it does not affect the headline money move number. So that's the number that was around $110 million last year. We have been reporting in our annual metrics post line items of grants made to, you know, recommended by Open Philanthropy, because Open Philanthropy is a part of what GiveWell staff are working on. And so we wouldn't report those anymore after the split.
This is Phil. So just so I understand this correctly, so in 2015 or in the 2015 giving season, do I understand that sort of the old GiveWell or the mainline GiveWell moved about $110 million?
That's right.
Wow, big number.
Yeah, I mean, so that was, you know, 70 or so was from Good Ventures. We don't
sure.
expect the split itself to affect, you know, Good Ventures. That, you know, that's independent. About 20 was from other donors giving $1 million plus, and then 20 was from donors giving less than $1 million.
Can you say a little bit, Ellie, about the current number of employees at the moment, so including Open Philanthropy, and what you think the current number of employees post the split will be, and how that will affect GiveWell expenditures?
So these numbers are going to be rough, and so tell me if more specificity would be helpful. You know, we're roughly 40 staff and about 20 on both OpenPhil and GiveWell each. Some of that, you know, that staff that I'm allocating to GiveWell is actually staff that's shared or will be shared, you know, like the administrative assistants who are at reception. And so overall, I kind of threw out that budget figure of, you know, $2 million over the next 12 months. I believe that, and I'd have to look at the number, but let me just pull it up quickly to get our sort of the total organizational operating budget. Over the same period, the total projected open fill spending is closer to $7 million. And so, you know, the majority, even though the staff is split roughly 50-50, you know, the open fill costs make up about, you know, the majority of the, you know, overall operating expenses.
And we're going to, I mean, open fill is intending to build our own, you know, operations team. We just aren't sure how long that's going to take. But in a longer term sense, that would be one reason for, you know, the total number to grow and for the GiveWell number to not, you know, GiveWell might stay at like 20, including the operations people who at first I think will be split, but eventually may become all GiveWell.
Yeah, that's for what it's worth. That's partly why I'm interested in this longer term strategy question with respect to GiveWell, is because I'm curious to know. I have the clear sense that Open Philanthropy's team will grow over the course of time post split. I don't have a sense exactly, you know, the full-time equivalents post-split that will be in GiveWell, and whether or not you, Holden and Ellie, have an aspiration to double the size of the employees who post-split will just be working in GiveWell on top recommended charities, whether you think 20 is a stable state going forward. Maybe the funding situation is stable for 20 people, but if you want to grow to triple the size, I don't know what the post-split growth plan is for GiveWell, if there is one. And by that, I don't mean money moved, of course. I just mean expenditures on operations.
Right. So I think it remains to be seen, because the biggest question that we have is, you know, the extent to which we'll succeed in identifying new giving opportunities, and then the staff that will be required to, you know, to succeed at that, you know, in different versions of what, you know, we're able to do. So I can imagine, and so that question of, you know, our success at finding new top charities is going to drive a lot of what we ultimately need to do with respect to increasing our capacity. You know, right now we see the biggest, you know, the biggest gap, I'd say, in our research is, you know, having someone on staff who is, you know, very experienced with empirical research methods, you know, particularly more advanced ones than we have relied on in our history. And having someone like that, we think, could significantly open up the possibilities of the sorts of things we can look at. you know, it seems impossible to predict well today whether we need one person like that, or that we need a team of people like that, or the person we hire needs to hire a team. You know, in any event, I suspect that, you know, our general experience has been, you know, with our donor community, that when we can make the case that additional costs and additional staff will have a positive impact, you know, we're able to go and raise the money to make that happen. And so even these, you know, projected expenses build in some expected staff growth, though, you know, not very much.
Yeah. Do you think there's a potential future in which, given the hard work you've already put in on GiveWell side and identifying new charities to recommend, that after giving it two, I don't know, it's called, pick a number of months, 24 months, 36 months of effort, and you come up empty or almost empty, that would imply a future in which GiveWell scales back its operational staff, because it'll be left with, as you just put it before, more or less just recommend and give directly?
I would be very surprised about that future, but I don't think it's an impossible one. And so if 24 months from now, we really haven't found anything new, I mean, I think we have to seriously revisit what GiveWell should be, because that would imply something that, you know, we just couldn't continue to be the sort of organization that we are.
I'd be less surprised than Ellie for its worth, but maybe very surprised in the next 24 months, but in some longer term sense, less surprised.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, as just as a practical matter, I think at some point prior to March, projected March board vote, if you have some information in writing, I don't know if it's a spreadsheet or just a short text, that will allow us to get a sense of projected post-split employees and operational expenses over a one-year, two-year, pick a time set of time horizons. I, for one, would appreciate some of that information to the best of your ability to provide it.
Okay, I think that should not be difficult, so we can do that.
Thanks.
Does anyone have any other topics they'd like to cover or questions they want to ask? I think we're now at the end of the pre-registered agenda, and so anything that you know people would like to talk about, now is the time. Or we should just wrap up.
But just one quick observation, sort of relevant to the previous discussion about, or the previous discussion about the risk of running out of top charities. I brought this up in our strategy call, and I just sort of want to air it with the board as well. We don't really need to discuss it, but I think, at least not right now, but I think that there are potentially a lot of ways for GiveWell to fulfill its mission without being totally slavishly adhering to top charities as sort of a research project or a product. There may be other ways to take GiveWell's research engine and deliver that content into the world. And I think it's worth, you know, before we just sort of let the research staff wither away because we can't find more top charities, I think there are potentially other ways to deliver the work. And I think, you know, over time we may find, if we are running out of top charities, or we feel like it's not satisfactory as a medium for GiveWell's work, we may want to think about other ways of delivering it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the main, you know, like I said, I would bet, you know, that we're going to find new things and that this approach will succeed. But, you know, I think the main area that seems most attractive on that front is, you know, just other recommendations, even if they don't necessarily meet the top charity criteria within the sort of space of global health and development. And then, you know, I'm less sure about going beyond that. But you know, I certainly agree with Tom, like in the event that what we expect to happen doesn't, then we'll have to revisit. Okay, it sounds like we don't have any other questions, so I think we're going to wrap up here. You know, thanks everyone for joining us, and I know there's some loose ends that we're going to follow up on. But as always, you know, really appreciate your taking the time to sit with us and join this meeting.
Yep. Thanks everyone.
Great. Thanks everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.